If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
You have opened the door for the miraculous, and now we boldly step in.
You are invited to join Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. and the Bethel Deliverance International Church for Fall Revival 2015. Come and hear a powerful word of hope and restoration with guest speaker Dr. Mark Sharona from Church on the Living Edge of Longwood, Florida.
That word holy means totally set apart. There's nothing we have in our life experience that can relate to holiness until we have an encounter with the Holy One.
Services will take place on Thursday, October 22nd, and Friday, October 23rd, 7:30 p.m. Bethel Deliverance International Church is located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, PA. For more information, call 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585, or visit them online at betheldeliverance.org.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
In Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, we have an epidemic that is moving through the body of Christ, and it seems to have gained momentum. Many in the ministry do not wish to address this problem, primarily because of our theological views that cause us to become a bit selfish. In our biblical exegesis, we only interpret the Bible as it fits us rather than looking at what God has to say. I don't know how many of you have read the book The Art of Warfare by Sun Tzu, and it's not, you know, something that most people will read, but I've read that book a couple of times, and I get many spiritual views as well as military tactics. And one of the principles that Sun Tzu gives is that one should study their enemy. I believe he took that from the Word of God, where Paul says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. How does the devil infiltrate the church? If you read the Word of God, you will find that our enemy is very clever. Very clever. He's had over 10,000 years of dealing with the souls of men. So on the surface, we're no match for him. Now, he's no match for our Jesus, but we're no match for him. So you should never try to go head to head with the devil, because he'll win if you step out of the flesh, because he's not interested in battling you theologically. He knows he can't beat you if you know the Word of God. So what he does is he tries to pervert the Word of God. One of his tools is to get you to look at minor things and become discouraged so you can't perform the major thing. So as I evaluate the body of Christ for the 21st century, as a younger Christian, and those of you that, you know, were saved back in those days of true spirit movement just a total revival of the presence and power of God, you can bear witness to the fact that those demonic forces were very aggressive and public. We would have, quote unquote, demon casting out services where someone would inevitably wind up being purged, we said. We used to use the term purged. And so that meant that the usher would be there with a box of Kleenex, and the person would, you know, regurgitate some foamy material. And we would all just kind of praise God, if you will, for that deliverance. Demon-possessed people would come into our sanctuary and they would misbehave. They would fight. They would become boisterous. But somewhere around the 80s, it changed. Somewhere going into the 90s, it changed. And when we reached the 21st century in the year 2000, Satan went from causing disruption to joining the church. He began to realize that I'm not going to be able to destroy the church from the pew, so I'm going to get with the preachers. Now, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, preachers of God promoted holiness, soundness of mind, and a sanctified lifestyle. the proof of the anointing was in your ability to do the works of God. But in the 90s, it changed. The proof of your anointing was now in the bling that you wore, the car you drove, how many bodyguards you had around you. The truth of the Word of God was now being replaced by sensationalism, individualized doctrine. The church migrated from "this is what the Lord said" to "I don't care what nobody says, this is what I believe." And Satan said, I've hit on something. Pride. If I can get these people to become so arrogant that they don't serve one another, I can destroy the church. And so the Apostle Paul was confronted by an issue in Thessalonica where he had taught in 1 Thessalonians about the return of Christ and trying to elevate the belief system of those new Christians and telling them that Jesus was going to return. And while we do sorrow for the death of a loved one or a friend, we don't sorrow as other people. We know there's a life after this one. And he taught holiness, and he taught separation, and he taught godliness. And the Judaizers came behind him and they forged some letters to try to dispel what Paul was teaching. And Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians to try and calm their fears, because the false teachers were telling the Christians, Jesus has already come. And so Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, he said, "Now, I don't want you to get upset. I don't want you to lose your perspective with regards to the coming of the Lord." He says something by spiritual utterance that I still find fantastic up to this day. He says, "That day..." And the day of the Lord is not a singular day. It is a period of time. He says that day will not come until there is a significant falling away. Now, 20 years ago, when biblical exegesis was not the norm, and interpreting scripture based upon feeling was the accepted way of doing things, we took that to mean backsliding. And backsliding in the Pentecostal church 20, 30 years ago meant one would lose their salvation. But backsliding does not mean you lost your salvation. The Bible says that the backslider shall be filled in his heart with his own ways. No matter what my daughter does, she has my DNA. She will be my child as long as she breathes. And if I outlive her, she will always be my child, even if she dies, because she has my DNA. Now, when you are born again, I'm not talking about the experience of the altar. And this is where early Pentecostals lost it, because we focused on the altar action rather than the true adoption. The marvel of salvation is that one is adopted for position, but they are re-energized for relationship. It is not the adoption that gives you the relationship with God. That puts you in a legal position to inherit the blessings. That's all that does. If you adopt a child, say your child was a foster child, and by the grace of God, you become eligible to adopt that child. You adopt that child. That child will never have your DNA, will never have your genetics. Now, there are scientific studies that do solidify the fact that someone can live with you long enough until they adopt your behavioral patterns. Whereas my child, her behavior is influenced by my DNA. Now, I know a lot of you are saying, "Well, how come he don't talk about the wife with the daughter?" Because the wife's DNA is not in the daughter. When a woman gets pregnant and wants to prove whose baby that is, they don't take her blood. And I don't mean to put y'all down. Y'all are good carriers. But the blood of the mother does not validate the ownership of the child. So I'm not trying to put Lady Lambert down. She had a role to play. She cocooned my seed. She cared for my seed, fed my seed, provided nurture, provided an encouraging environment for my seed, then had my child and gave her to me. And then I said, you take care of her for a while. And she infuriated me. She pierced her ears. She straightened her hair. She let her grow up. I never forgave her for that. But all the while, what's happening is our child is growing and becoming more like me. Because the DNA of the father takes time to evolve. And the older she becomes, the more she takes on my characteristics. Almost to the point where mom's characteristics are almost non-existent. There's a connection still because of the cocooning, but daddy evolves slowly. That's how it is with God. When you first get saved, you just, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But then later on, as you walk through this thing, you start getting all those euphoric moments and you start having to deal with the fact that I'm God's child. And the things that God pulled from you, he no longer pulls from you. You now separate yourself because you become aware of the fact that God is living inside of you. So here's the wonder of salvation. You were adopted to get the rights, but then God does something interesting. This is why if you really understand new birth, you will realize that God is not only your father, but he's your mother. That's why he calls himself the El Shaddai. In the Hebrew, it's the many-breasted one. And only the woman had breast for sustenance. He calls himself the El Shaddai, the many-breasted one. In other words, I'm your mama. I'm your daddy. I'm your daddy because John says we are born of his seed. And in the King James, it uses the word seed. The word in the Greek is sperma. God's sperm birthed us, which means that when there's a blood test taken, the devil says, oh, that's God's child. Not because you can stand and quote a promise, not because you can assume a responsibility, not because you walk in a ministry, but because the devil pricks you and sees what you bleed. And as you evolve in this Christian experience, what God is, you become. Hallelujah. What God is, you become. You are not that way when you first get saved. When you first get saved, you are adopted. And God injects you. And so the Bible says that we are partakers of his divine nature. You know what that means? That means at some point in your Christian evolution, you start hating sin. Stuff that you used to embrace, you don't even like it anymore. You don't even want it anymore. And you haven't had to have any hands laid on you for that revelation. It's just because God is now unveiling himself in you. The essence of relationship is not what you do for God, but it's who you are in God.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
09215A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Praise.